Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here and we'll be right back.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Watchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
Happy 2008.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yes.
It's been a great year so far.
Has it been great?
Yeah.
Good.
Very exciting weather.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very exciting weather.
Mm-hmm. Starting out feisty.
Feisty.
Yeah.
Feisty weather.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah, that's my experience as well.
Yeah.
And I'm getting over a little cold, so I'm feeling good about that.
Oh, good. It is wonderful to watch them depart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Seems to take a little while, and I'm trying to do my part to assist in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Rest, drink lots of water.
Yes.
Lots of vitamin C.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then, as everyone tells us, it'll take about 2 weeks.
2 weeks, is that the average length?
Yep. And then if you do nothing and don't take care of yourself and blah, 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 it takes about 2 weeks.
Takes about 2 weeks, yeah. I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that one as well.
But we feel so much better about ourselves when we're doing the right thing, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So, and I'm sure that can't hurt. It has to help something on some level.
Seems like it.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it, if only with the intention to support oneself.
Yeah. I did read something interesting last night. There's a survey that, you know, quite official survey from the medical people that where they have found that if you have a sinus infection, you're probably actually better off not taking antibiotics. Because the sinus infection usually goes away in about the same amount of time, and of course people are very concerned now about the overuse of antibiotics.
Yes.
So I thought that was interesting. You know, while while there wasn't a concern about overuse, you know, this is the treatment. But as soon as we realize, hey, we're overdoing this, then we find out that, well, actually, you never really needed them in the first place.
Yes. Yes. You know, it reminds me, I find with medicine regularly that it seems that it can be consistent with restraint and religious observances.
Yes, one of our three pure precepts.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. It's almost like, when in doubt, do nothing.
Well, and isn't that the first rule of medicine, first do no harm?
Do no harm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that's we might get back to that. Just plan on taking the best care of ourselves that we can on every level, and then not depend on kind of quick fixes and cures for us when we don't do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There might be something here. I
might
know.
Be something there.
Yeah.
And I'm always reassured when I see a doctor and they say to me, you know, I think the best bet is to do nothing.
Right.
It's very reassuring to me.
Yeah. Well, that was another statistic I read from the American Journal of Medicine. I think that's what it's called. And the head of that organization said that in about, I think he said like 8 to 10% of the cases, medical treatment is actually does harm.
Yes.
And in about the same percentage, it does some good.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, you, as we used to say, you pays your nickel and you takes your chances.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, for me, the thing for us as students of awareness to keep in mind is that paying attention to ourselves, taking responsibility for our health and well-being by bringing kindness to our lives could be an awfully good form of medicine.
Yes. Yes. That's my experience as well.
Mm-hmm. I know we have some callers, Michael.
We have, apparently, many.
Yeah, because I couldn't get through again. I was going to call early, and I got busy doing other things.
Yeah.
But we have a couple of announcements first, right?
For
this new year, I think we have an email class starting February 1st.
Oh, absolutely.
That I'm pretty excited about because we came up with the title because I started hearing myself say with some regularity, you know, we all live in a universe of one. It's perfect. It's a perfect title because we're all living in our own universe. And
yeah.
We don't recognize that. We don't think about it that way. We think we're sharing a reality, and yet we are emphatically not sharing a reality with, as far as I can tell, anybody. So taking the opportunity to look at what exactly it is that that's keeping our reality in place. How did it get created? What is it? How are we keeping it there? And are there choices? Could we perhaps move to a different universe or a larger one, or, you know, maybe share a universe with some other folks? So
yes.
I think that's going to be fun. So that's for the whole month of February.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we also have a couple of retreats going on just to keep ourselves from getting bored. For people who have done There's Nothing Wrong With You, we have There's Still Nothing Wrong With You. And then for people who don't yet know that, we have a There's Nothing Wrong With You, both in February. And then I have a retreat the first couple of weeks, sometime in the first couple of weeks of March,
yeah,
based on that email class. So anybody who's gone to the email class, who's gone to, you go to your computer and do the email class, can attend that retreat if they would like to. So we'll
yes,
just take it to a deeper level.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I noticed that all of that information is right here on the website, all on
it
one
is.
Page.
And we just sent out people to say, save the dates email. So it's,
yes,
it's very boldly in front of people's conscious awareness.
Yes. And that website, for those of you who don't know, is livingcompassion.org.
Mm.
Those events go all the way down the page and beyond.
Yes, they do. And that's, I think, only about the first half of the year.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
What more could be coming?
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, I cannot wait to see. Yeah. We did. We just put in the, you know, the kind of high points, the North Carolina retreat and the, you know, the month-long retreat in August and the bridge walk and, you know, out into the year. So truly, we will be filling in a lot more retreats and workshops as time goes on. But we wanted to kind of do the broad strokes so that people can buy their airline tickets.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Would you like to talk to your caller?
I'd love it.
I'd like to welcome Julianne from Maryland. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
I'm great. Thank you.
What's going on in your life?
Well, I called you, I don't know, 2 years ago or something, or maybe a year ago. I've called a couple of times, and I've been kind of wanting to call back ever since. And every time it comes to be Tuesday evening, I think, well, gosh, this is just conditioning. This is just content. Why do I need to give it any airtime?
Uh-huh. Let's just keep it inside.
Yeah.
Our own heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So let's all keep this inside and not give it any airtime. I love that.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I can let it rule my world, but, you know, yeah.
Yes, or you can do the courageous thing as you have done this evening and pick up the phone and talk with somebody outside your head about it, mm-hmm. which gives you a lot of power and influence and dramatically diminishes the power that those voices have over you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Makes sense to me. Well, first I want to say thank you. I mean, this practice is phenomenal, and it has completely changed my life, and I'm just so incredibly thankful. So,
you know what? I know exactly what you mean. The experience, that is my experience completely. It is a wonderful practice.
Yep.
We're lucky.
Yeah.
We're very, very fortunate people to have found such a life-changing practice that is available to us. We can do it. It's not esoteric. It's not beyond us. It's just simple and intelligent and everyday, and we can practice it.
Yep. You're right. And it's, it is. It's just, it makes sense. And you know what? I don't understand why more people aren't, you know, out there are a lot of people doing this, but I don't understand why there aren't even more people doing
this. Yeah, kind of like, why isn't everybody doing it?
Yeah.
And yet we do know, because those voices would have you never call in and talk.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Yeah, try to keep you from doing a workshop or a retreat or meditating or, you know, those voices of conditioning, they are entrenched, and they have a solid grip on most folks, and they don't want to turn loose. So,
yeah
it to me, it's a great sadness that more people don't do the practice, but I can understand how difficult it is to get past all of that resistance that conditioning has,
mm-hmm.
to take the steps that are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard. It's heroic to do it. It's called the path of heroes, and it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that I can. Well, the other thing I wanted to say is the Reflective Listening Buddies program is awesome. Love it.
It is
so great.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's just another quarter is starting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we ought to do a big advertisement, because it might be too late for people, but they could certainly go on the website and read about it and find out when they can get signed up, because it is a great support for practice that you can do anywhere, right? You don't have you don't have to leave your house.
Mhm. And apparently you can do it with more than one person, and
Yep.
I love it, and it's just every week I can count on, that it's just really wonderful, because
we all need
to get out of your head.
Yeah, we all need support for, kind of blinking our eyes and getting out of that conversation inside the head and getting here, coming to, and remembering who we are and what's possible for us.
Mm-hmm.
Need support.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying that to my Reflective Listening Buddy today, that, it continually surprises me for some reason that I can understand so much and yet become so aligned with conditioning.
Yes.
And be so entrenched in these ridiculous stories.
Yep. Yeah. It's astounding, and yet we fall for it over and over and over and over again, long past a time when we actually know what's going on. It can still trick us and fool us and take us in.
Right.
Which is why we practice compassion and kindness, so that we can just know that that's the case, and to ourselves endlessly be able to say with love and understanding, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard, and you're here now, so let's celebrate that fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I if I could bring some content.
Yes, please.
To talk about.
Sure.
I'm so nervous. I've been writing this book for a long time, and I'm also I'm also an artist, but yet I chose a different career path. Mm-hmm. But I never do any art, so you wouldn't think that I'm actually an artist. And I did take an email class of yours a while back, and it was, my commitment was to paint, and I never actually did do any painting. But I, you know, and I kind of took the writing path instead, and I just have this creative, I don't know, this energy that wants to come out of me.
Mm-hmm.
From a creative standpoint, and yet I continually get wrapped up in these doubting voices that tell me that I'm wasting my time, or that, you know, this is just taking me forever, and that I allow conditioning to talk me out of doing it.
Yeah. And so first of all, you know, one of the points that you might choose to make to those voices, if you wanted to state your side of it, is
mm-hmm.
it is your time. So if you want to waste it, you can.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to do something that somebody says is a pure waste of time, what business is it of anybody's but yours?
That is so great. Wow. I've never even... Wow.
Yeah.
I have this idea that I have... You know, I guess I'm really wrapped up in this idea that I have to be proving myself to somebody or something or someone.
Yeah, and you get a sense of who that is? It's just a voice in your head. Right? Because nobody
yeah.
else is saying that to you.
Right.
In fact, anybody else would say...
Yeah.
You do art? Oh, that's great. Can I see it?
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, people are really excited about it. Most people, I bet, when you say that to them, would go, oh, I wish I could do that. And then you want to say, well, you could.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you just do?
Just do it, right?
Do it. And, of course, what you know stops them is the voice that says, you can't do that, you're not any good, you're just wasting your time. I can't believe you're doing that. This is stupid. As if that's a point.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
As if there's some law in the universe that says you can't do something just because you enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah. So it would never say to you, the voice would never say to you, listening to the voices in your head tell you you're wasting time. Is such a waste of time.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, it is, right. I mean, what a
colossal waste of time.
Right. Well, I'm not doing any painting or any writing.
Yeah. And so, you know...
I'm really wasting time.
You might start small. You know, you might approach it kind of like a little retreat. Have you read Making a Change for Good?
Yes.
Okay, so you could do it as a little 30-day retreat. You know, you could do something... artistic for half an hour, and
okay.
you could write about the process for half an hour.
Okay. Sounds like a reasonable...
Yeah, and you could do that. How many times a week would you want to do that?
I was about to say every day. Maybe that's too lofty of a goal. I don't know.
Yeah, so you might start out with 3 days a week.
Yeah. Okay.
And then if you want to do more, you'll do more. But 3 days a week, and what you're really going to be journaling about, especially in the beginning, is how the voices keep you from doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's, you know, let's make some other standards for you, okay?
All right.
You're not going to do anything good.
Okay.
All right.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, you're just going to do what's fun.
Okay.
You're just, for a half hour, you're just going to do something creative that you enjoy doing, something artistic that you enjoy doing, and then for half an hour, you're going to write about the process of doing that. How long shall you do that? For a month?
Okay.
Okay, and then you'll call us and let us know what happened?
Sure. Yes,
very
I will.
Good.
And can I ask you, I feel like I'm 5 right now. I guess maybe that's who's showing up for the phone call. But does it have to be painting? Or I mean, because I almost want it to be.
No, anything you want to do that's fun
creative
and creative.
Thing. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Okay, I will
very
call
good.
You back.
I'm excited.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Good
All
night.
Right. Good night.
Thanks for calling us, Julianne. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio.
I'm going to do that assignment, too.
You can do that assignment, too.
Oh, my gosh. Doesn't that sound like fun?
It sounds like fun. It's so concrete.
Yeah.
And tangible.
Yeah, and fun.
And fun.
And we got to do, that's, you know, we could all, we should start a movement, you know, where a half hour every day, we all have to do something that's just fun. That something that we do that has no earthly purpose except
right.
that we enjoy doing it.
Yes.
And we all commit to that. We do it every day for a year or something. Wouldn't that be great?
Wow.
And we process how we don't do it.
right.
How we get talked out of it and stopped and all the voices of self-hate that beat us up to get us not to do it and then beat us up for not doing it. And we would just go on supporting each other to have at least a half hour of fun every day.
Fabulous.
I like it.
I like it a lot, too.
Yeah.
Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Teresa from Austin, Texas. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi. Good evening.
What's going on in your world?
Things in my world are going pretty well. I called you, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, and you suggested to me that I read the There Is Nothing Wrong With You book, which
uh-huh.
I did, and I enjoyed, and just since then have made a lot of changes in my life that feel very positive, and just a lot of really good things have been happening.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but the one, the but is, I seem to be encountering a lot of, in myself, jealousy, which, you know, if you'd asked me 6 months ago if that was something I had a problem with, I would have said, no, I don't think so. I'm not a very jealous person, but...
That I know of.
Yeah, but apparently I am a jealous person, and I don't like that. I don't like it. And
okay, now, wait. Let's not pass this over too quickly. So
right.
Tell me about jealousy.
Okay. It usually seems to be around very certain, specific areas. If I see what looks to me like somebody in a very happy, fulfilling romantic relationship,
mm-hmm.
I have a lot of jealousy about that, even if it's somebody, you know, that I love and care about and another part of me is very happy for them and really wants that for them. Another part of me is just not interested in hearing anything about it or
now,
knowing
let me ask
anything
you this.
About it.
Is do you have a part of you who really wants that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I called you about a few months ago is, I've just kind of had a series of very unhealthy relationships, and I recognized that I was holding on to them because I felt like it was so essential that I had to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
If I wasn't in a relationship, there was something terribly wrong with me, and I would never find anybody and all of that, and I haven't been in a relationship in a few months, and I feel like it's good. It's a good thing for me, and I'm okay with that, and, you know, I want to be happier with myself before I start seeing somebody, you know, all those things that people say.
because the way you described these previous relationships was unhealthy.
Very,
so
yeah.
You're pretty sure that you could turn a part of you loose and she could get you in an unhealthy relationship like that.
Oh, yeah, probably within half an hour.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Okay, but you're going for something different.
Right.
And yet, and there's a part of you who wants a healthy relationship, who wants to be healthy and happy and fulfilled and all of those sorts of things in a relationship.
Right.
Yeah. And then there's also this other part who is really jealous and envious and sounds kind of sort of mean and spiteful about the whole thing.
Yeah. That's the part that's a surprise to me.
Yeah. So here's shall I just tell you my experience of what you're going through?
Oh, yes.
In fact, there's an expression in Buddhism that you may have heard. It's called Going Farther and Faring Worse.
No, I haven't actually heard that one.
Okay, so what you can imagine what it means, though, right?
Right.
So here you are. You know, you're in a series of unhealthy relationships, and that's pretty time and attention consuming.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, a lot of self hate, a lot of unpleasant stuff. Okay, and so that consumes your time and energy. Then you stop doing that. Well, guess what? Something else is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's usually the next thing that we need to embrace in compassion, the way you embraced the part of you who kept having unhealthy relationships. You know, you said, got to do something for you, sister. And so, you know, you went out, you got the book, you read it, you started doing work to see what was going on and to take care of yourself and to help her get out of that destructive pattern. Yeah?
Yes.
Now you've got this other sister who's jealous and envious. So she wasn't getting any time or attention because this other one was getting all of the all of everything. She was all consuming. You with me?
I got it.
Yeah. Now what we
I was hoping there was just the one bad sister.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they're actually not bad sisters, of course. They're people who are hurting. They're people for whom life isn't working right now. You know, and they're sad and they're upset and angry and frustrated and all kinds of things. But they're not actually bad people. And what they need, what each one of us needs, especially when we're in that kind of place, is unconditional love and acceptance. And as you, now, it would seem that the point is to bring unconditional love and acceptance to these folks who are suffering, right?
Right.
But the actual point is that you are developing compassion muscles.
Okay.
Yeah? So you are actually being transformed in the process of embracing these aspects of yourself who are struggling and suffering. Can you
okay.
see that?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, you're actually, one of our book titles is Be the Person You Want to Find.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing. I mean, you probably don't get up in the morning and think about it that way, but that is what you're doing. You are transforming yourself into the person that you have always wanted to be in relationship with.
That sounds like a really good idea.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, there is a downside to it, but we could talk about it later if you wanted to.
There's a downside?
Yeah, and that is that you will become even more attractive to people that you actually don't want to be in relationship with.
Oh.
Can you picture that? The more
kind,
the more expansive, the more increasingly you are the person everybody wants. Now you, of course, are looking for the person who is doing the same thing that you're doing.
So can I ask you just in practical terms, when I encounter this jealousy, when I'm with people that I love and they're telling me about, you know, wonderful things that are happening in their lives, and this jealousy starts to come up, my reaction so far has been just kind of fake that it's not there, you know,
sure.
Pretend it's not there.
Yeah.
Is that a good plan?
It is. It is, okay. Because you know what? They don't need to know that. You love them. You're happy for them. It's just that you have this part who is really jealous and envious and wants that for herself. And she's really unhappy. And so what you get to do is take care of her.
Okay.
So it's one of those where yeah, you're there with your friends and you're smiling and you're, you know, you're doing best to channel that part of you who is, who loves them and is really happy for them. You know, that's the part of you you're trying to evoke.
Okay.
And then when you leave, you know, go stop and get a cup of tea, take out your journal and have a conversation with that part who is just devastated by the fact that other people have what she wants so desperately.
Okay.
Yeah. Be in relationship with her the way she wants somebody to be in relationship with her.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's no small task.
Yeah.
But it is really worth the effort.
Yeah, I believe that, and I'm encouraged because I didn't think that, I mean, stopping the cycle of these really unfulfilling relationships, I didn't think, I mean, that was hard. That was hard to do.
Yes. You know, it's like people, it's an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we let go of something that is so, such a huge part of our conditioned orientation to life, it's hard. So, you know, if nothing else, there's a cause for celebration.
Yeah.
You know, that you accomplished that. Many people accomplish one big thing like that in a lifetime. You know, there are people who stop drinking, and they will all of their lives refer to that as, you know, the biggest accomplishment of their lives. And so when that person says, okay, there, that's my first foray into stopping a destructive behavior so that my life becomes a kinder, more compassionate place to be, okay, that's the first one. Wow, you know, this is a practice. This is a process.
Yeah.
This is something that I can repeat. How else would I like to make my life happier and healthier? What other painful, suffering, destructive ways of being do I want to embrace and let go so that all of the parts of me can have the happy, fulfilling life that there's no reason for them not to have? And again, the important part of that, in the process of doing that, you are being transformed into the compassionate presence that can embrace anything.
Wow. Well, that sounds good.
It is good. And as
Thank
we
you.
Like to say, you can do it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Take good care of yourself.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Teresa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And I can do it too, Sherry.
Yes.
We all can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
We have
Sherry,
power.
We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome George from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Good evening.
What's going on in your world?
Well, the last time we spoke, it was right at the end of the show, and I was just beginning to say, but I have this terrible anxiety about performing, and I don't know what to do about it. And I guess I was saying, I guess I should just go ahead and push myself and make me do it. And you said, just don't believe the voices that are telling you what they're telling you. You can something like that. Anyway, what happened was about 3 weeks ago, it all came together, and I was able to create a little chanting performance, or group, rather, called Chanting for the Children, and it was actually for the benefit of the children in Cantalomba. We had a small, modest turnout, but everyone was very generous with their donations, and it went wonderfully, and everybody wants to do it again.
Oh, how fun!
So all of these things just came together.
Now,
certainly the voices were there, and they were, you know, they were harsh, and they were hammering me, and I was very nervous starting out, and it took me about halfway through the whole process to begin to get comfortable, but it just kind of transformed the whole thing.
Now let me ask you this: do you have a sense that a part of this was that you were doing it for somebody else?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is the greatest argument that there is for service.
Yes, absolutely. It just opened up the energy of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I may be nervous, I may be anxious, this may
right.
not be...
This is not about me.
That's right. It's not about me. This is something I'm doing so that children on the other side of the world can eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just need to get myself out of it and let life take care of it and let all this happen, and there you are. George, I think you have found a new direction.
I believe so.
That is so fun.
It really is.
And, you know, when you get out of the way like that, the service becomes threefold at least. There's what you're providing for the children. There's what you're providing for the people who are there chanting, which is a wonderful thing. And there's what you're providing for the guy who wants to do generous, kind things, but has been beaten bloody all of his life. That's a grand thing.
Oh, it just all came together.
I'm so happy.
Oh, me too.
And is this having an effect on your winter energy?
Oh, yes. Profound effect.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it lets you know what you need to do more of, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great. I am very, very happy for you.
Oh, thank you. Me too.
Yeah.
So... again, this I just wanted to say that another conversation we had was about being relentless with the practice because self-hate and the voices and conditioning are relentless.
Mm-hmm.
So being relentless with the practice, calling into this show, listening to the archives, I mean, I get in my car and I turn on the automobile and on comes one of the archives, whatever CD happens to be in the player. The reflective listening program is just fantastic. It's remarkable how powerful that is. And, of course, making a change for good, those monthly... practices in compassionate self-discipline, and the new book Transforming Your Life is starting out really, really beautifully, so that my day is just filled with practice.
And
different forms of practice.
Just when you said that, I thought a synonym for practice, there are several that come to me. It's love. It's compassion.
Mm-hmm.
It's kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's remembering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So filling our life with practice, being relentless with practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there are no empty spaces that self-hate and misery and suffering can take hold in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the spaces are filled.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good thing.
It is. There's one part of my practice that I'm still kind of struggling with, and that is that's actually meditation. I was reading the book on the Enneagram recently, and I realized that, you know, I've kind of identified myself as a seven, and I'm reading along and it's saying, you know, sevens are have very active minds, and their minds are usually all over the place, and they're always thinking about something and always you know, thinking, dreaming, scheming, putting things together, making lists, you name it. Mm-hmm. And what I find is, you know, I'm very faithful with my meditation. I do it almost every single day of the year. Currently I'm doing it for 20 minutes. And I focus on my breath and I do the counting and so on. But I have not been able to, in order to focus on my breath, I have to actually control the breath. I find myself controlling it. So I finally gave up and said, well, I can't just breathe normally if I'm going to count it. I just don't seem to be able to do that. So at least I'll drop it down into the hara area and I'll breathe in that part of to at least help get the energy out of my head a little bit. So that helps somewhat, but I rarely get to two or three before my mind is off somewhere. And you know, for a while I was doing the double duty thing. I was counting from one to ten. I was multitasking, counting from one to ten while the mind was, you know, was off on somewhere, putting something together or thinking about something or planning something or whatever. And then listening to you relate to some questions on meditation that a couple people brought forth in the program, I realized that, wait a minute, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing double duty. I'm doing the counting. Yes, I'm getting from one to ten and back and forth again. But my mind is not there. I'm not focused on the breath, or for very 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 short amount of time. So I don't know.
Okay, here's the deal.
Yeah.
What we don't want to do is take it into some sort of standard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it does not technically matter if you ever get past two.
Yes.
What
yes.
matters is being present.
Right.
And I would encourage you not to control the breath, but mm-hmm. to continue practicing allowing the breath to be what it is and staying with it and counting it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what conditioning wants to do is say, okay, you can't do that, so here, do this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll say, oh, no, you're not really doing that either, so here, do this other thing. And pretty soon, conditioned mind is in charge of your meditation rather than mm-hmm. the attitude of mind that we're going for is, I'm going to sit here and practice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not practicing to get good. I'm not practicing right. to get somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm practicing to practice. And I will see everything that there is about that as I go along.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be what it is. And conditioned mind will have all of its opinions. And all I'm doing is practicing.
Yeah. Just watching it all.
Just watching it all.
Yeah.
And you are watching it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to note that even though conditioned mind would say, you know, I'm not with my breath for any, you know, I'm not, blah, 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 but you know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
not like you're going unconscious and going off somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you're not doing what conditioned mind says should be doing in order to be meditating the way you should be meditating.
Right, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, a good answer to that is, oh, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Go right back to practice.
I'm just going to sit here and watch what's going on.
Yeah, it's like music. You know, I'm practicing the piano, and the voice says, well, that's not very good. Well, I'm not doing it because it's good. I'm
yeah,
doing it
right.
because it's practice.
Yeah, well, that's certainly what happened with the chanting for the children. I said, well, whether this is good or not, whether anybody likes this or not, I'm just doing it.
That's right. That's right. I'm doing it because it's part of my practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
All right.
All right.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, George. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about another 7 or so minutes left, and we have one more caller.
Perfect.
I'd like to welcome Jen from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. What's going on?
Oh, well, I'm excited that I got through. I had to leave work early, and I got through, and then I got kicked off, but I found out that I got kicked off, so you could call in, Sherry, so that was good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I was trying to see what has been going on, but I had a really a good holiday. Like, holidays are often pretty rough. The family dynamics are hard and all that, and I felt like a lot of the work that I did with the month-long retreat, I just felt like there were a lot of instances where I noticed, like, there I was in a situation, but I was there. I reacted really differently, and it was worked a lot better than some of the ways that I've reacted in the past.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's always good to have that confirmation, isn't it?
Yeah, it was great. But, you know, as seems to be the pattern that I watch with myself, I wonder now if I'm getting some backlash from that, because I even, you know, did some kind of noticing and, wow, that's exciting, and kind of, you know, talking to myself a little bit about that, and then just got really depressed after kind of getting through that whole all the family stuff and all the holidays. It's just been rough just not wanting to get out of bed and coming home and just eating until I'm numb and I can just fall asleep and sleep till the last possible moment and not do a job at work and just, I don't know, it's been kind of...
I think you've found the right combination of words to describe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a really good time. Now you have to suffer.
Right, yep.
You were really successful. Now you need to get a big dose of failure just so you remember who you really, really are.
Exactly, yeah. It's been all that. And, you know, the calendar this month is the conditioning will torture you with what you believe or something like that. And I've just, you know, finding all the stuff that I believe. Like, I teach yoga in addition to my job, and that's usually a place where I just enjoy it. I don't judge myself about how many people show up or what, you know, I just do my thing. And if people, you know, have a good experience, great. And, you know, I just don't get real worried. And I had a yoga student come in last week and tell me how she went to this other class that she just loved. And there were 53 people in the class and the style is so great. And she's still coming to my class, but there's just, you know, I don't know, that suddenly just shot me down that I'm, you know, the worst yoga teacher on the face of the earth, and, you know, I have, like, 2 people in my class left. I don't know. So I'm just falling for a lot of this stuff. And
well, and it does, it kind of, doesn't it make you sort of wonder what her point was?
Yeah, I don't know.
if this is a movie, it's like, you know, you're walking down the street with a great big beautiful balloon, and then there are people whose job it is to lurk around on corners with hat pins, you know, looking for people with balloons to burst them.
Yeah.
Now, that I realize that that's not the case, but it can feel like it. It's like, what are you thinking? How is this going to be helpful to anybody?
Yeah, it wasn't helpful at all. I mean, I asked her, so I guess it was, you know, I opened the door because I knew she was going to go to this other class, and I asked her about it. But so, you know, ever since, it's like I can't teach yoga. I sort of can't find that voice.
Aha!
You know?
So you got set up.
Yeah.
You really got set up. Oh, here, let me ask about something that's going to just make me feel like garbage.
Yeah, I knew it was...
Aha!
Style, and it was that really popular style, and I don't teach the really popular kind, and, you know, yeah, I was kind of, I was
so
nervous.
So you walked down the street with your balloon and you handed a hat pin.
I asked for someone.
Said, yeah, see if you can manage to burst this balloon.
I guess so. I did.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Which, you know, could be another source of the voices beating you up, or could just be confirmation that, oh, yeah, you are really up against it. You're really up against it because you've had too good a time and you've been too successful. So it might, you know, I'm hoping that that's going to be helpful just to realize that.
Yeah.
All this is just to ruin your good time because you had a good time. And just to start doing the things that you know to counteract that. You know, when you come home and there's the, okay, I'm going to eat my way first through the refrigerator and then through the pantry, you know, to sit down with your journal and say, okay, now what do I really want? What would really take care of me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to, you know, get the reassurances going nonstop. Maybe get out, there's nothing wrong with you, and read it over again and do the exercises. And just, you know, as the, you know, we were talking about the being relentless with practice.
Yes.
The voices are relentless in trying to take the fun out of your life. You've got to be more relentless in keeping it there.
Okay.
Yeah?
All right.
You know, the good part about that is it gives us something to do when doing is a really helpful thing for us. You know, it's good at a time like this to get active, take it on, start, you know, start writing the notes to yourself, you know, buy yourself little gifts, write love notes to everybody in your life, say thank you 10,000 times, you know, whatever appeals to you to get that energy moving in another direction. And just remind yourself, you know, this is a crisis time. The voices are after you. You've got to build your defenses. Are you there? Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. I don't know what happened there, but I guess Jen will let us know if it didn't work.
Yes, I
All
hope
right.
she will. Thank you, Sherry.
Good night, Michael.
Good night.